Hello and welcome to Season 1 Podcast, a podcast where two best friends watch, review, and recommend television series that only lasted one season. My name is Andrew.
And my name is Presley.
And on this episode, we watched Imaginary Mary. Imaginary Mary. Get ready, buckle up. We're going to dive right into this show. But first, Presley, give us a quick synopsis after we run the intro.
Yes, which is not a song, be warned.
Correct.
This is me, Alice, and this is Ben, the guy I totally fell in love with. These are his three children.
Careful, that's a vintage Les Paul.
That I'm totally not ready to deal with.
Hola!
And that is Mary, my imaginary friend from childhood.
Why am I so nervous?
You know what we need.
She's back to help me.
This girl is on fire!
I think.
All right, Imaginary Mary was a short-lived rom sitcom that aired in 2017. The show focuses on Alice, played by Jenna Elfman, as she starts dating a single father of three, Ben, played by Steven Schneider. When Alice was a child, she had a terrible childhood with constantly arguing parents, going through a very, very messy divorce, which included apparently a stabbing. In the process, in order to cope, she created Mary, an imaginary friend voiced by Rachel Dratch, does not look like Rachel Dratch, who helped guide her through her adolescence, eventually disappearing when she was 18. When realizing the changes unfolding in front of her, Mary spontaneously returns to Alice's life and basically is trying to thwart or stop Alice's growth and development into this family, because Alice was like always a very strong, independent woman who was kind of forging her own path, didn't need anybody, but is now obviously in love. Over the course of the series, we see Alice try and bond with the children and Ben, and eventually they become fiancés to one another. Thinking that all the challenges are behind her, Mary once again disappears, and we think that she could be gone forever. Only for her to return as she realizes that A, she really needs Mary to cope with anything, and B, there are far, far more challenges that are going to unfold now that she is a part of the family, and yeah, that's it. End of show. End of series.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. I have already talked enough about this show, and it
was
about
it with your girlfriend,
two or
right?
3 minutes in. Yeah, we watched it all yesterday.
Tell me, give me the like blanket synopsis or story or anything.
It's bad.
Okay.
This is a bad show.
What's
like,
bad about it?
literally everything.
See, I kind of liked it.
You liked it? What? Okay. Here's the thing for me. The moment. Okay, so they're like little meet cute thing. He was doing a job interview, and you know she was the one interviewing him at her company. He bombed
doing like
it.
A proposal kind of thing.
Yeah, doing like or it was a proposal. Yeah. It wasn't a job interview. It was like a work.
Yeah, she like owns a marketing firm, and he's like a contractor.
Right, and so she, he kind of like bombs it. He throws his like single date, his like dating profile up, and then they're like, "Oh, let's fix it." And she's like, "Oh, he has three kids. I'm not interested in him." And blah, 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 blah. And it's like, he's kind of cute though. And then all of a sudden, they're in a relationship and they love each other. Like,
well, obviously, it jumps time. It's not like
I know that. I know that, but like. The thing is that the chemistry, none of it was believable to me. Like, I could not believe that those two cared about each other, that they were
in
love.
Why not?
There was no... It all felt like we were watching a show, and it was all acting. Like, it's...
That's
it was
what
the
all
kind
shows
of,
are.
No, hear me out. I have a good point here.
Okay.
There's shows where... There are shows where you know it's a show and you know they're acting, but it's in a way that is done well, like it's written well. But then there's shows that fully immerse you into the show and you're like, oh, shit. Damn, this was a show. You know what I mean? Like they really invite you in mentally and they really pull you in and you really experience them. This show did neither of those things well. And that was the issue, right? I don't have a problem with the show being obviously a show. right? Being obviously a sitcom, but I didn't believe any of the like characters' motivations, or like I didn't believe that those two were in love. There was no chemistry between the two of them. And so for me, like I couldn't find any chemistry between those two, which then ruined the whole thing. Also, the imaginary character was like hardly even in the show. There were episodes where she was literally only in the last 5 seconds. And it was like not useful. It was not useful to have imaginary Mary there. She could have just had a friend. She could have just had a friend that like she worked with, business partner, whatever, that she like called and like, hey, what the fuck is this? Is what's going on? What should I do? That would have been better than having an imaginary friend, the way they utilized having an imaginary friend.
Don't you think that's more of a limitation of the show's budget? Like, it's a kind of high concept to have like a CG animated character in the middle of your live action show for like a standard ass television show.
Yeah, it's ABC. That's like, so
yeah,
it wasn't an independent studio.
Yeah. Like, but do you think it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, we've budgeted this much and we want this character to be involved. We have Rachel Dratch, who's a great actress who can do the voice. That's awesome. She makes a little cameo in one of the episodes, which was actually very cute. Yeah. And it's just like an inherent limitation of the fact that they can't make this character do whatever they want because it's an ABC sitcom show, and the budget, you know, 2017, we're still very far into CGI technology, but it's not like that. They have limitations here. Why am I defending the show to you?
If you have the limitations to not even make 9 episodes that are 20 minutes each halfway decent, then you shouldn't have made the show. You know what I mean? If you don't have the budget to make... It was supposed to be 13 episodes, and they had to redo the CGI because it was so bad. And yes, that is a limitation on the series. But like they redid it, and it was still really bad. Not the CGI, just the show.
Oh, okay. I thought
just the show was bad. No, the CGI was fine. The monster, whatever you want to call her, imaginary friend, was okay.
Mary is her name. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I know it's Mary, but I'm saying like Mary's... people who didn't watch the show may not necessarily like... click that, right? But the imaginary friend Mary, the animation was fine. I just don't feel like Mary added a whole lot, or there were moments where Mary did kind of talk to Alice and kind of like help her with things, but it was few and far between, and I just don't feel like it added a whole bunch. Because she could have just had a friend that she was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing with this. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what an imaginary friend is. But like,
is the structure of the show, because Mary can be in a scene and nobody can hear her other than Alice.
Yeah.
Right. And so you can have somebody like saying something sweet and nice on the outside, and then Mary's like chirping in her ear, the devil on her shoulder, trying to be like, no, this is terrible. That can't happen in your scenario. Right. That's just a standard drama series.
Yeah. But like when they did that, it was okay. It was corny. And it wasn't done like creatively. Here's the thing. One of the other things with this show that I think is probably part of the reason why I failed, or at least didn't hit with me.
Yeah.
Every single episode that I paid full attention to, let's be honest. I did pay attention to all of it, but like, you know, I was working and stuff, whatever. But I guessed every single thing that was going to happen in every single episode.
Yeah. It's a sitcom.
No. I've seen sitcoms that are actually done well and written well and are creative that I don't have the ability to guess every single thing that's going to happen. Not every sitcom is that formulaic and that like cliche and is made up of all of those sitcom tropes, right? Like there are tons of shows that do not do that. The show is shit, Presley. I don't know how you're defending this show.
Because that's one so of us crazy. Has to be like a little bit less hot sometimes. I just thought, here's what it is, right? I by no means think this is anywhere close to a great show. That is obvious to everybody.
It's amazing. You right. I get it.
It's just that it was like inoffensive to me. Like it was cute. There were funny moments. I like the general idea of it. I would tweak the premise slightly, and we can get into that. And it was just like, I could have it in the background. I could laugh a little bit every now and then. I could watch some hijinks. And I just like, I don't think that that's so bad. I you know what I mean? Like, I understand what you're saying. I'm not dissuading or discrediting anyone who's watched this. Like, plenty of people are entitled to hate it or whatever, right? But yeah, like, well, I just don't. It doesn't beget hate for me because it didn't do any of the things wrong that we talk about with so many other shows, where it's like every single thing is wrong about it. It's just like, well, it's not the best written show, and you know, the premise is a little odd, but it's still a cutesy little family drama thing.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like for me, it's, if I break it down, it's like, okay, the script and the writing was just bad. The plot, the premise, a lot of things that happened, like I said, were so predictable, right? That I could just basically have written the whole show myself and just then thrown that in the trash. Right? The acting wasn't believable. It was acting that was acting, right? Like, there's acting that's, like I said, there's a lot of times when you're watching a show, you know it's a show, and that works. This didn't. It's just, there was no chemistry, and like, I feel like the characters weren't very believable. Like, yes, I could believe that there is a single dad out there with three kids that's just trying to do everything he can, right? Like, I can believe each individual character, but the acting was, I feel like it was just so poor that I didn't believe any of them were real people in real life or could have been. I don't know.
Yeah, I just, I think that
the premise,
right? I mean,
sorry, I was gonna say, I think the premise was good. I think that, like, yeah, it would, the idea of the show is a fun idea. This gal's like, oh, I've got a bunch of trauma. I had an imaginary friend that helped me through a bad breakup. I really don't want to have kids. I really don't want to be attached to anybody. Oh shit, I fell in love with this person and he has three kids. Like, and then the imaginary friend comes back. I think that's a great idea. I honestly think that would have made for a great show. I just think the execution failed in quite a few different ways.
So what I was just doing while you were saying that, I was obviously listening, is looking at all the shows we've done. This is episode 35 of the podcast, right?
Right.
And thinking if there's like a comparable show to this that we've already watched, and I can pick out kind of two that feel samey. I can think of The Muppets Mayhem, right, being that there's a bunch of fictitious characters and kind of a sappy story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then No Tomorrow, which is like a bad rom-com kind of thing, right? Yeah. Where would you rank it among, like, if we were ranking just those three against one another, right? We know your feelings towards The Muppets, controversially, are not the best. So where would you put this in the ranking of just those three, separate from our eventual star rating that we'll get to?
I would probably put this at the bottom.
Really?
I would probably put this at the bottom, Muppets next, and then No Tomorrow at the top of the three.
That was literally going to be my prediction.
I think the other thing, my girlfriend even mentioned it, and then I was thinking about it, and then I really soaked it in, was a lot of the music felt really wrong for a lot of the moments. It was supposed to be like whimsical and like silly in little moments, but it was like the wrong mood for the moment. That was happening. I don't know. There was just a lot of things.
That's like one
immediately
of those subjective things, I think. Like,
it is.
Only
it is.
You
well,
would
this whole thing is subjective.
No. But I'm saying, like, I can't picture that because it didn't feel off to me. So, like, nothing's sticking out in my brain. It just all sounded
nothing stuck out
music.
Because nothing stuck out about this show.
No, I can remember all the show.
I don't mean to come in super hot or like crazy on it, but I just feel like the idea was really good. I just think that the execution was just very poorly done. It was just very poor execution.
So, okay. Next question in this interview of Andrew's reaction to Imaginary Mary.
I want to hear what you say too, or want to think about it too, but
yeah, I've shared, but this is our classic question. Who is the show for? Because to me, it's for younger folks than us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I would just say younger folks, right? And I think it is probably targeted more towards women than men because of the drama element and Mary's like independence clashing with this like want to be part of the family, right?
Alice's.
And so I'm worried that we are the wrong people to talk about it. Because I could see any adolescent person just finding some cute, funny, relatable things in here.
I think that's valid. I think that's fair. I agree. I don't think we're quite the intended audience of this show. Although, when you think about it, if it is geared toward like kids, teenagers, whatever, where do you think they're going to be watching the show? It's an ABC series. They're probably going to be watching it on their TV in the living room. You don't think parents are going to catch that and watch along, right?
True.
So I think that potentially maybe the scope and the writing wasn't wide enough. They weren't realizing, hey, you know what? If we're aiming toward, and this is all conjecture, right? We don't know for sure what they were really aiming toward. But if they were aiming to put this show in front of teenagers and make this a fun little whatever thing, or I guess maybe not even necessarily teenagers, whatever. I don't know. We're hardly older than teenagers, let's be honest. We're not that old. just like, what, 10, 15 years? Yeah. No, if you put this in front of teenagers, their parents are going to watch. Their parents are in the house most of the time, I would imagine, depending on your home situation, right? So the parents are going to watch this show. I would have thought they would have written it a little bit more, I don't know, carefully, to maybe put some stuff in there that like the parents might jive on.
Okay, so I can remember parts of the show that I enjoyed, and I can remember plot points. I want to hear an example from you of like what was not working for you to better codify in our listeners' ears, right? Because they probably didn't watch the show, what you're talking about. Because it's all one thing to just say it didn't work, but I need an example to like make it work. Because I can just say I have the easier role of saying like it was just cute and inoffensive and funny, right? Like, and you kind of can just take me at my word. But for you, it's like, I just want a little bit more from you, right? Because you just saying it was shit is like, you know, a little just dismissive.
Yeah. I think a lot of the plot points that happen are just kind of like I said, they were very easily predictable. They were a little lazy. Like, okay. So there's the episode where Ben's ex-wife comes in the picture, basically. Yes. And Alice and his ex-wife,
I believe her name is Donna.
Get along. Donna, I think it's Donna or something. Yeah. They're kind of opposite personalities. She's a dentist. She's very grounded. She's very mom. Alice is very much an independent, free flowing spirit that's made her way into, I think, around her mid-40s, I think is what they were kind of like probably aiming to put her at. I don't 100% know because I don't really discuss like age, right? But 40s, given that she's dating a single dad with two teenagers, like it tracks, right?
Tracks.
So she's this, I will say like a little bit earlier than middle-aged woman who's got a career. She's a career-driven person. She's a very independent woman. She drinks, she parties, she hangs out with friends. She does her own thing, right? She's flying her own flag. She's just doing what she wants to do. She's around this woman's kids all the time, like half the time, right? Because they split custody, right? And there's this whole thing about how Alice, the partier, the whatever, is a bad influence on the kids, right? Because there's pictures of her on social media where she has drinks in her hands and like whatever.
She's watching a Real
and she watches the Real Housewives, and the kid Bunny is just around when that happens or watches it with her, right? And then Bunny, of course, has to create art that emulates all of the bad things that their mom, Donna, I think is it Donna?
I'll double check while you're talking.
She's not even mentioned on the, anyways, let's just say it's Donna. All of the things that like Donna is suspicious of or really, really apprehensive about is the stuff that, of course, that comes through in Bunny's art. And it just felt very obvious and very lazy. A lot of the writing and the moments that happened were like that.
The ex-wife is Renee. Sorry.
Renee. Damn. All right. Renee. Sorry, Renee. You're a fake person, so it doesn't really matter. You're not that upset. I think that, and also just the stuff with like the last episode. Oh, I don't want to stay over because I think it's a really big, weird like step for your kids, whatever, whatever. It's like you are engaged. You've been dating 6 months. Like that would have already happened in a real world scenario. That's, I don't know. That's not, I don't know. It just wasn't believable. I don't know, man. I just didn't feel like there was anything unique about it other than the fact that there was an imaginary friend plopped in it, right? There's the whole like prom date trope where it's like, oh, I don't want my daughter to go to prom because she's my little girl, and you know, the overprotective father thing. You have like the dorky guy who like goes way too hard to ask her to the prom, and there's this like pact thing. The oldest son is kind of nerdy and like socially like struggling, as he says.
Yeah, he's got a lot of anxiety. So
he's got a lot of anxiety. He's got a lot of things, and you know, that's believable, right? But basically, the dad says like, "Oh, Dora, which is his middle child." You can't go to the prom unless Andy gets a date to the prom. And he's thinking, oh, Andy will never get a date because he's a weird socially, like he's rooting against his kid. And then he gets a date and then they get to go. And then it's this whole thing. And then he regurgitates the scene from Taken where he is on the phone and he talks about how like I have a particular set of skills and et cetera, et cetera. And it's just all very like trope and written. Like it just was regurgitating a lot of the themes we've seen in sitcoms for the last 40 years, 50 years. And I think that's what I struggled with, was that it was all so predictable and there wasn't anything that was very unique.
I'm trying to think of a unique sitcom I've ever seen. The only one that we have done, obviously, is Reboot, right? Which is a fundamentally unique premise because of its premise.
Okay, I can list off some sitcoms right now that are unique that have done really well.
Okay, but
Parks and Rec, Big Bang Theory, Abbott Elementary, How I Met Your Mother. Those are just like a few. New Girl. They're all sitcoms. They all fit within that genre, but they have unique characters that you invest in and they have unique storylines.
And more than 9 episodes.
Yes.
I was thinking about this, right? Okay. I gotta go back to Alcatraz, my old well, right? Because one of your big complaints on our initial episode, and you bring this up often, and this is not criticizing Andrew Time, but I want to cite it as an interesting thought, is you often say, oh, well, we didn't get good enough character development for these characters, right?
Yeah.
And one of the interesting things about Alcatraz was you said that the character development of the prisoners was amazing. Because each episode we see this long backstory of their past and their current situations, right? Totally. But the main characters who we see every episode, the through lines, we don't get as much, right? Yeah, it's totally. Much more drip fed to us, right? With I think a missed understanding, and that is that over the course of a hopeful many seasons, you are going to build out a lexicon of information from those characters over the course of more time. When you only have that one character on that one-off episode, you have to cram it all in, right? But when you have the recurring characters, you can take the time to flesh things out over a longer span of time. And I think that it can often be an unfair characterization for us to say, oh, well, we didn't get enough character development because the show only had 9 episodes and they're 20 minutes long. That is literally not a lot of time to do character development. That is 3.5 episodes of a normal 45-minute long television show, which we all know is really hard to get really genuinely good character development in that amount of time.
Yeah.
So
you're 100% correct.
Yeah. That's my one little pushback to you, because in the hopes that you would have more development of these characters as I go, and with there also was no realizing character that development. Most sitcoms,
I wasn't even criticizing it.
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, most sitcoms, right? Think about How I Met Your Mother, one of your favorites of all time. Mm-hmm. How long does it take for Barney or Marshall or any of the main characters to exhibit any changes beyond who they are as people? It takes a few seasons at bare minimum.
It takes some time. Yeah.
And that's just the way shows are written. That's not How I Met Your Mother specifically. Yep. So I think to say that like in these 9 episodes, we didn't get enough is still fair. I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
But I think we also need to couch it in the fact that like it is a sitcom where people evolve slowly and it is not the best written show.
Yeah, I agree. I can agree to that, but I think, and it's not to counter, it's just like, I think...
we're having a discussion, not an argument.
I think it's really just kind of like supplementary to my idea of like, there was no character development in this series, really. I think the only one that you can make an argument for was Alice, maybe. Because she did,
and being
kind of
the main character.
Okay, I'll you know what? I want to walk that back a little bit. There was some character development. It was in Alice. She really did get better at like dealing with the kids and dealing with the anxiety of not knowing what to do around them. And she really did kind of like grow into a little bit more of a motherly role, right? She's not trying to replace Renee or anything weird like that, but she's involved in their lives and she did grow to that. So there was some character development there and that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
My main issue is the fact that the characters themselves didn't feel believable,
right? Scope of it all,
right? It's like I didn't feel invested in the characters that existed in the first place for them to have developed into anything else over the course of 6, 7, 8, 9 seasons, right? That's the core issue for me. It's not the fact that I didn't see enough development in 9 episodes, because I agree. I don't think it would have been fair to be like, there's no character development in basically 3 hours of television, because they're 21-minute episodes and there's only 9 of them.
Yeah.
But I think the core characters themselves didn't hit for me, and that's the issue for me. So
I just can never talk you into liking anything that I like.
So I want to hear from you, like, what... Because I've probably spent 20 of the last 26 minutes droning on about how much I hate the show and picking it apart. I want to hear from you. What are some examples of bits and pieces of the show or the writing or the characters themselves that you enjoyed? Because you seem to actually have enjoyed this show. I'm not going to say you're putting it at a 4 or 5 or something wild, right? But I think that you enjoyed it a lot more than I do. And I'm very curious to know what worked for you?
Yeah.
In this.
So, great question. And first, I'll start with Mary being this fun, cutesy little imaginary character, a believable imaginary character. Reminded me of my own imaginary friend growing up. I have a feeling that you did not have an imaginary friend growing up, and therefore cannot relate.
I didn't.
And so there was a bit of a relatability bias here, but
that's valid.
I do like her as a character because she's not this like. She's not like Bing Bong from Inside Out, where she's like grasping at childhood. She like matured with Alice, and so is like your adult imaginary friend saying crazy shit and getting drunk with you and going to karaoke. Obviously, only Alice can see her, but I like her in the way that she's presented as a character, because you understand that this is an adult's version of an imaginary friend, not a child's version of an imaginary friend.
Okay.
I also like the kids, specifically the son. I related to a lot, just because I was always kind of that nervous, anxious, you know, high schooler growing up. I don't have
all the
same problem.
Most likely to become an accountant.
Was that? Yeah, no, not quite. I was pretty close to that though. But you know, it's just like a certain level of relatability. I can understand some of the issues and challenges that he undertakes. And I like some of the stories. I really like the prom episode. I just thought it was really sweet and genuine and cute, where these kids are going to this kind of first school dance and they're nervous about it and, you know, overcoming that. And I also really like the whole proposal episode, because it all goes ass backwards, as it does in all sitcoms. And, you know, they lose the ring, and so he doesn't do the proposal on this like perfect date night. And then she's heartbroken and is going to run away. But then
she
decides
out,
to propose to him. Very standard sitcom stuff. But they just stick out in my mind and make me happy. And that's all I need a show to do sometimes, is just be like, oh, that's kind of cute. Because Alice in the last episode, she's like badgering Ben about how he babies the children when like they're going to sleep.
Right.
Like, you know, one of them snores incessantly, so he just goes with a shovel and flips them over. He doesn't like do anything about it. And one of them has like night terrors because they're always watching horror movies, and he just lets it happen. And always, like, every 10 minutes gets up to go give Bunny, the youngest, a glass of water or a fluffer pillow or whatever, right?
And so
she's like trying to dissuade him from doing that. Like, you're coddling the kids, like they need to deal with this like a little bit, right? Like, obviously some of it can be and some of it can't be dealt with more. And so then after they're like dealing with the constant screaming of Bunny trying to like get her attention, instead of calling for her dad, she starts calling for Alice, and Alice gets really excited and starts doing all the same things that he was doing, indulging her, getting her water. But she appreciates it and sees why he does it, in spite of the fact that it kills his sleep, because it is a sweet, heartfelt thing, and she's caring about this child, right?
Yeah.
And it's just nice. I just like nice shows sometimes.
That was a nice moment. I agree.
Yeah. And so that's like what I got out of this is like there's just like a lot of nice moments. They go to this recorder concert, which obviously all recorder concerts are the worst thing that any human has ever heard. And
I participated.
Terrible.
I was one of the people playing
we all
music,
did. Yeah.
And it was
fucking horrible. my children will never go to a school where they get to play recorders.
We're opting out of that.
You know, everybody's like teary eyed and it's so beautiful. And it's like, obviously sounds horrible, right? And she's like, can you believe this? And then of course Ben is like tearing up as he's recording because he thinks it's crazy sweet. And then later on in the episode, I forget what the final thing was. I think it's like a little play or something that they go to. Mm-hmm. She is also like kind of starting to tear up, and you see that she has evolved a little bit and feels more for these children that she never thought she was going to have anything to do with. Right.
Yeah.
And I just find it to be nice. And sometimes I want to, in these dark times that we live in, I need a nice little show that I can smile at. And that's really all. Sometimes that's all I need. Obviously, we know from our conversation, this is not an award-winning show. It's not even particularly well acted or well executed. But, you know, it is also, like I said, inoffensive in its sense of, like, bringing some joy to my life. And I just want to give it some credit for that because sometimes I need that.
Yeah. I think that's valid. I think that's fair. I think I agree. Sometimes I just need a show that is uplifting and just kind of gives me nice feelings and whatever.
Yeah.
And I think like, this show can absolutely deliver that.
Yeah. And, one of my favorite shows of all time is Star Trek The Next Generation. Because Star Trek The Next Generation, while it has some dire situations and some scary moments and some weird things that happen and problematic things from the 90s, ultimately the show is about hope and progress and exploration and understanding, right? All the things that I aspire to, live long and prosper, yes.
Right.
And I put that on when I need like a hit of comfort and warmth. And this show is certainly no Star Trek The Next Generation, right? I'm not even saying anywhere close to that, but I'm saying that this can, for some people, push those same buttons where they need a nice, lighthearted, sweet moments of television that look okay, that aren't annoying, and make somebody smile. And that's all I need. And it sounds really sappy, and I'm a sap. I understand this. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
That's fair. That's fair.
Do you want to hear my one change that I would have made to make the show more interesting?
Actually, yeah, I do. I'm putting myself in the writer's shoes. I want to hear all feedback.
So what I would have done, right? You start like the first episode virtually identical to how you have it.
Okay.
And then you have a series of episodes, which kind of already happens, where she bonds individually with the children. She has one where she helps out with the prom and she helps, you know, goes to the recitals or what, like it can be whatever you want it to be. There's no specifics here.
Okay.
But as she's doing that, the kids start to see Mary.
Oh.
So you have not only Alice seeing the imaginary friend, but you also have the children start to see the imaginary friend, not in like a creepy way, but in like a,
so then it's not an
imaginary, that's why you're
friend.
Acting so
like
weird, right? And now they're like, oh, you can see me. And it becomes like a little bit more of like a Ted situation. Like this has a lot of similarities to Ted, if anyone's seen that, the Mark Wahlberg movie where teddy bear is alive his whole life. Because then you have like, and I want it so Ben can never see the imaginary friend, but everybody else can, right? It becomes like this thing they're both like hiding, but also trying to figure out what's happening. And you just have that little bit of mystery, that little nugget of intrigue. And you also have Mary able to interact with some of the other characters and trying to either fuck them over or help them, right? Where it's like, you know, why are you being such a baby? Why do you have so much anxiety? Why are you so annoying, right? And these kids getting into misunderstandings not only with Alice and Ben, but the imaginary friend. Thoughts?
If more than one person can see the imaginary friend, is it actually imaginary?
Well, and that's the question, the metaphysical, deeper question that we're evoking.
It.
We're getting evocative here.
Yeah. Gets the people going.
It gets some people going. Yeah, I don't know. We don't need to spend a really long time talking about if the show is great or not. I just had a good time with it. And I would hope that one other person could find some heart and levity in it, because that's all I needed from it. And yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. And in fact, I mean, there are 2 million other people who finished this show.
Yeah.
When it aired.
Started with 5.5, though.
I was going to say, what's interesting is it started with the first episode had 5.39 million viewers. And the next episode had 3.45 million. So, like, they almost lost about half of the people that wanted to watch this show. And it actually steadily kind of trends down. It doesn't fully just linearly decline.
It's not a nosedive the entire time. The interesting thing about those ratings, and I think it's reminiscent of some of the other shows we talked about, is most shows that get canceled have exactly that kind of trend of viewership.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that's one of the key metrics, I think,
that
they get canceled, right?
You know, we don't know a lot of like streaming service data, but I wager they're using pretty similar models to other
completion
cable
rate.
Network providers.
Totally.
And so it doesn't surprise me that that was the trend that it took on when I saw that earlier. But yeah. What would you have wanted from more of it? You have to tell me what you would have wanted from a season two.
I think there is a lot of, just given where Alice is in her development toward being comfortable with the kids and being like in a family situation, there's obviously, she just finally, I guess I would say mastered living or not living, but sleeping at his place. Right. I think you see, we kind of already saw, the kids over at Alice's place and kind of like messing with her stuff and kind of
that was the pilot
screwing things up. That was the pilot. I think really the next one of the big, like next big themes you see, you're going to see, or that I think I would want to see, or could add some flavor to the show. Right. And just kind of like, that's how I think it would continue is, well, no, not necessarily that. I just mean, like, I think like what would logically happen next is we see them. Okay. They can sleep at each other's place now. Great. Maybe they're going to stay the night at Alice's place every now and then and do the bedtime routines and whatever, maybe at Alice's, or obviously they're engaged. They're going to start planning their wedding. They're going to start trying to figure out how to make all that happen. And they're going to have to live together.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to happen in season two. I think I'm just trying to grasp at something to put out ideas that are going to happen, right? But I think we're going to see them eventually live together, and we're going to have to see Renee come back into the picture, which is the kid's mom, not Donna. Sorry. Literally half the episode, most of the episode, we called her Donna for
reason. It's not like we could use any name because none of our listeners watch this show.
Exactly. You don't need to watch it. But obviously Renee's going to have to give some higher level of approval or some higher involvement in her being around the kids all the time. And I think that's going to create like the XX factor part two. The XX factor is the episode title of where Renee is in the episode. But I really think it's just going to be some of those themes. Are they going to build a house together? What's that going to look like? She's got a lot of nice stuff. She likes her things the way that she likes her things. They're kids. He's a dad. Like, I don't have kids yet. I've seen people's homes that have kids. I used to be a kid. Like, you don't necessarily get to have your place spick and span and the way you want it, because kids just, they're kids. They're running around. Their toys are out. They're making spills and messes, and that's part of life. And I think Alice is going to struggle with that when it comes to being in her space. I think them moving in and getting married and being together and having that commitment where she is now a stepmom is like the crux of like all of the content that's to come, if there was more.
Yeah. I think pretty standard evolution.
Yeah.
Of the roles.
Yeah.
As usual, I'm going to go a little wilder than you.
Of course.
All the stuff you said, moving in together, having a home.
But then everybody starts seeing Mary.
No. It's going to be a little different.
Okay.
Because that's what that would be like, rewrites. This is
totally
additions.
No, I know.
You have two big things. A. Ready? A.
Bunny Mary has an imaginary child or friend.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. I said Bunny actually has an imaginary friend.
No, that was literally number one. Was that one? We start to see, separate from other people seeing Mary, but like Bunny or we realize that everybody's doing this in the universe. So, like, Mary or Alice has Mary, and then Ben has some imaginary friend, and then Bunny, okay. the youngest, has, like, everybody just has an imaginary friend, and no one ever talks about it. And we start to see the other hijinks that they're getting up to as a result of it. You could just have, like, one episode of that happening where you don't do it every episode, but you just do it like that one episode where you see, you know, Bunny's like massive dragon that's always burning people alive so she can put the ashes in the ash box she makes because she has a very morbid sense of humor. And then you see like the very laconic or like melancholy, like down character that Dora, because the middle child who's like very rebellious, has, right? And then you see this like anxiety ridden, you know, like pencil of a character for the oldest son. And then Ben's is like Bob the Builder, you know, like you could just do something fun with that for an episode, right?
Okay, yeah.
And they could occasionally come back. They don't need to be every single episode kind of characters.
Yeah.
And then the other big thing is Alice getting pregnant and having to deal with a child of her own, because these are other people's children.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a big factor in her wanting to like get involved. But having her own child, right, and the dilemmas that come along with that in any good sitcom when they have a new child enter the mix, which is a wealth of content for any good sitcom.
Absolutely true. That's correct. Damn.
So those would be my two additional fun
things to do. Well, Presley, I'm so deeply sorry that we didn't get to see more of this show for you.
I'm not mad about it. Like I said, I was not craving more of the show. I don't need it to have run for seven seasons. I just, you know, enjoyed my time with it, and that's allowed. Right, and, you know, I don't even think that I will necessarily make recommendations to our listeners to watch the show. We'll see when the star rating comes out. But, like, for me, it was an enjoyable 3 hours, right? Compared to watching some of the other shows that we watch that are A, much longer, and B, much rougher. I'll take this like every time.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was thinking about Running Wild.
Yeah, that's another. I forgot that one.
When I was thinking about this show, and I was like, where would I put Running Wild in comparison? But this was like literally yesterday when I was watching it. I was thinking, and I even mentioned it. I was like, where would I put this in line with Running Wild? And I was like, I would rather watch Running Wild again.
Really? I think Running Wild's worse. I think that if you revisited Running Wild, you would disagree with that.
Maybe I'm too far removed from it because it was like almost 30 episodes or something like that ago. But the way I feel about Running Wild and the way I remember Running Wild, it wasn't as rough to watch as this.
Running Wild has the benefit of stronger actors, I think. That's giving you a bit of rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, and I think there's a little bit more that happens, and I think that's probably why.
Yeah, and it has a slightly higher concept. Maybe it's a little
easier for me to watch. Yeah, so anyways, I just was putting that in perspective, and I was like, man, all right, maybe I do not feel very favorably about this show.
Well, why don't you run down our star ratings for our listeners, even though they've heard it 35 times now, for our new listeners who might have just joined.
We don't know if everybody's listened to every episode.
Yeah. You better have, but
this may be your first episode, and I'm so sorry. Don't watch the show. No, just kidding. So 0 out of 5 stars. 6 if you really want to get pedantic. 0 out of 5 stars is going to be a show that should have never been more than an idea.
Should have stayed your imaginary friend.
Yeah, should have stayed your imaginary friend, and you should have told anyone about it.
Yeah.
A 1 is going to be a series that should have seen a pilot and promptly been closed. 2 is going to be a show that was rightfully canceled after 1 season. 3 is going to be a show that is kind of a watch at your own risk. If you like the themes and the conversation that we have, feel free to take a listen. It's kind of like I don't know that I recommend this, but if it sounds interesting, go for it, right? 4 is going to be a show that we do recommend you watch, that we're a little bummed didn't see more investment and more seasons. And 5 is going to be a show that is a pillar of pop culture that is just absolutely devastating to have been canceled. So,
thank you for the rundown. I have a guess for yours.
Okay. I want to hear your guess.
I think you're going to give it a 0.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's my guess. Go ahead.
I'm going to guess that you are going to give it a 2.
I am going to give it a two. Spoilers. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I am fine with a single season. I enjoyed my time with it. Mm-hmm. Not going to give it a strong recommendation. If I was going to recommend it, I would have given it a three. But I think that a two is fine and not the worst thing in the world.
Well, Presley, I'm going to wow you. I'm actually going to give this a one.
Okay.
Because
What? I'm watching the original trailer. It's in the background on IMDb. It just started playing randomly. Uh-huh. And the old CGI is rough.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm so sorry to interrupt your star rating. I will post side-by-side photos of what we got versus what it was. It is horrifying.
Oh, no.
Thank God they shortened the show and made it a better character. Oh, my gosh.
Now I feel like I have to look it up.
If you all look... I'll put it in the show description if I can link images. I will. It'll be up on our website, season1pod.com. I'll put it in the description of this episode because I know I can put photos on that. It is a very, very unique horror that I'm witnessing right now.
Oh, God. Now I have the trailer up trying to like catch a glimpse of it.
You'll see it. It's like 10 to 30 seconds in.
I'll review this later, but my rating is the one because I do think, as hard as I was on this show, I actually do think that there's a solid concept to be worked with here.
Yeah.
And I think that it could have gone well. It could have been good. It just wasn't.
Right.
So, pilot was deserved. Oh, wow. I just saw it.
It's so rough.
Because it's now playing on the other screen. Oh my God, that's horrifying.
It's like, in reality, it's like way more personable and like just looks like kind of like a little hairy guy. In this one, it's like a hairy troll monster with like a eerie big mouth. And like,
yeah.
The proportions are very wrong.
Yeah. And it's not even that much different, but the lips, it has lips.
No, it is different enough to be in like Uncanny Valley kind of area where like it's a very slippery slope on the edge of that valley. Where it's like one is a believable cartoon character and one is a nightmare monster. Like if you put it in dark lighting and put in some scary violin music in the background, it is a horror character.
Yeah, 100%. Anyways, non sequitur aside, I give it a one. It was a good concept. I think that it could have been done well. It just
missed opportunity, right?
Yeah, it just wasn't.
I think
done
one's
well,
a good missed opportunity example, right? Where pilot and general concepts are there, but it just doesn't have enough to keep it going, as it were.
100% agree. Yeah. Presley, are you ready to hear what the next show is going to be?
I hope so. I just want it to be like a good one.
I hope so too.
I never pick good ones. We know this. And Lower Winter Sun was like okay, but
well, Anna picked that one. So
No. I'm just saying we haven't had a good one since Freaks and Geeks, and it's always rough because we never have good ones. But you know, we could use a win here.
Could use a win.
Yeah.
Drum roll, please. As I decide what show we're gonna do. I need to look up. Hold on. I totally forgot.
You did not pick. Okay.
I totally forgot.
Well, Andrew looks that up. Just a friendly reminder, everyone, that you know, you can find us on all social medias at season_1_pod, along with our website, season1pod.com. If you're looking for that extremely scary photo of the two Mary versions, I would look it up there, along with all of our episodes are up there. Finally, please, honestly, leave us a rating and review on whatever podcast app you use. That is like the best way for us to share the show and for more people to hear this. If you think it's enjoyable, funny, interesting, whatever, if you just enjoy letting us be torturing ourselves and want to share that with others, this is the place to do it. We really appreciate all our listeners. We don't say it enough, but you know, the regular folks that come around and listen to us and give us feedback, it genuinely warms our hearts. And Andrew and I talk about how nice it is that we have people that enjoy the show. So thank you if you are one of those loyal fans.
Yes, thank you very much. Much appreciated. We love the support and we really appreciate hearing what you guys think and giving us shit for what we thought. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. I've got a choice. or I've made a choice. I may have made two choices.
What?
We're not watching two shows for one episode. I just mean I think I may have my next pick as well.
Okay, let's do it.
We are going to watch the Resident Evil series.
Oh, the Netflix one?
The Netflix Resident Evil series that was canceled. Okay. It's the 2022 series. We're going to watch that.
Don't watch the movies, folks, because there's a lot of them and they're not good.
The movies are bad?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I've only seen like bits and pieces of one of them and I can't remember which one.
I think once they get like later on, like the Mila Djokovic like ones, like not the original, but like as it got completely, it's just like only Resident Evil in name, like nothing is connected in any way. It gets like ludicrously fun where it's like so campy and silly that it can kind of, you can kind of have fun with it. I don't think it's like considered good movies.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
Anyway, well, we're watching a show, not a movie.
Gear up, get ready, reactivate ready for Netflix. Some horror. Get your best friend's Netflix password, or don't. That's illegal, I guess. And watch Resident Evil. We'll see you guys in about 2 weeks' time. And with that, my name is Andrew.
And my name is Presley. And we watched it, so you don't have to.